I'm Frank Vaughn. It is February 12th, 2025. And although I felt yesterday's edition was a little bit fraught, I think it went over well. And in keeping with the theme of Western Canada, tomorrow I'm going to be doing a live stream on Nadine Ness's platform. She is the founder and president of Unified Grassroots and just a wonderful woman overall. So look for that. I'm still going to try and push out a video tomorrow, but I don't know how it's all going to flow. But please check this out. Speaking of frauds, I thought we should start out today's edition with a little comic relief. Let's listen to Jagmeet Singh act tough.
What does that fighting entail? How do you see that fighting moving forward? Is it reciprocal tariffs?
Yeah, the first step is going to be dollar for dollar retaliatory tariffs. Impose a tariff on us, we'll impose a tariff back on you. Again, no one wins in these trade wars. But this is not a fight that we wanted to pick. We were happy to continue to have a strong relationship. Donald Trump has picked this fight, so we're going to fight back. We just announced today what I would do is put in place a 100% tariff on Tesla, directly targeting Elon Musk. Because Elon Musk is proudly touting this idea of the 51st state, so let's hit back at Elon Musk. I've also said we should shut down the supply of critical minerals, another move that directly targets Elon Musk and his Tesla company. The batteries that he needs require these critical minerals. We've got tools.
Oh, we got tools, all right. Jagmeet is one of them. Now, let's just get the most important fact out of the way right off the hop. Jagmeet is irrelevant. His party is set to be wiped out whenever we get an election, so the only power he has is the power he exercises today. His greatest accomplishment is taking the NDP, which was once the official opposition in Canada for my American audience, when you have more than two parties. One of the parties will become the official opposition, and one of the parties will become the government in an election. Jagmeet Singh took that party. He bankrupted it. He did show how a motivated group of people can take over a federal party, mainly the Sikhs, and specifically the Khalistani Sikhs. Part of the terrorism problem we have is embedded in Khalistani separatism, how they can take over a federal party and bankrupt it in one swift action. So the only power this guy has is the power he has today. Canada has a minority government, even though Trudeau behaves like a dictator, even though the Liberal Party behaves as though they are the natural governors and almost monarchists who rule this country. They need this man's support to stay in power. Now, he has promised to trigger an election at the next available opportunity. The problem is he's promised this about a dozen times, and he always goes back on it because he understands as soon as an election is triggered, he loses his wage. Now, because Canada's foolish, we have given this man a pension for life, so even though he's wiped out his political party, Canada will be paying for him until the day he's back in the ground. This country is so backwards. The other thing is, how irresponsible is it that Elon Musk is not allowed to have an opinion? Elon Musk is heading a pseudo-department called DOGE, which is trying to find waste, fraud, and abuse, doing something that the Canadian government should actually do with our own government, because we are, as I've shown in my videos, we are rife with money laundering, we are rife with cartelism, we have so much corruption, and we don't have anybody talking about looking at it. Jag wants to tariff Elon Musk specifically for his opinions. So a man is no longer allowed to have an opinion. Elon has nothing directly to do with the so-called trade war against Canada. Trump has put tariffs on us. He has said he demands a safe and secure border. I've talked about how massive the drug trade here is in Canada. I've put numbers on it. I've given you receipts. Jagmeet doesn't talk about that at all. He just talks about destroying the Canadian economy. The things that he's suggesting, cutting off energy supplies to the United States, will backfire on us massively. He is probably a more destructive force in this country than Justin Trudeau. He is certainly more incompetent. He is certainly more hypocritical than Justin Trudeau. He is Justin Trudeau's plaything, and he's not going to be around. His party is going to be wiped out. I should have probably opened with this because it's the most important news to come out since yesterday. Former senior Mountie Kevin Brousseau appointed as Canada's fentanyl czar. Now, this is our state media. The federal government appointed former Mountie Kevin Brousseau as Canada's new fentanyl czar on Tuesday, a role created in part to soothe U.S. President Donald Trump's concerns about the northern border and pause developing trade war. Soothe his concerns like he's some kind of baby. This is how they word things. It's very subtle propaganda. You know, if you've been watching my video, I have highlighted that you can express the drug export business in Canada as a percentage of our GDP. 83% of Australian methamphetamine comes from Canada. Hundreds and hundreds of millions, billions of dollars a year are tied to crime in this country. I've put the numbers on it in my video work. Go watch it. It's timeless. But the part that you should pay attention to if you are an American and if you're Donald Trump is Brosseau served in the RCMP for over 20 years, including as deputy commissioner and as commanding officer in Manitoba from 2012 to 2016. He also recently served as deputy national security and intelligence advisor to Trudeau, where, according to the PMO, he navigated Canada's most sensitive security challenges. So you need to know that Brosseau, in spite of having perfectly good eyesight, is blind, because underneath his nose, this problem that I'm talking about has blossomed into a national security crisis for the United States. We are a corrupt country. We are a country dominated by cartels. We are a country dominated by money laundering and the drug business. This all happened under the watch of these guys. So if I had the ear of Donald Trump, I would tell him, don't buy this. This is not action. Don't settle for a cheap victory. You need to put the screws to Trudeau, because this country will never fix itself. This country will never change. We will never see a degree of improvement without outside pressure or massive internal disharmony. While Trudeau and Singh and their buddy Doug Ford surround themselves with more of the corruption that has led us into this situation, trying to fool the Americans by looking like they're doing something, which they will not be fooled this time, the Americans themselves are consumed with more important work, like ending the constant parade of faggotry, which has taken over everything. This insanity here is being replaced by this. Testosterone is back, baby! Now let's talk about Team Canada for a moment. The loss of trust within the intelligence community in the United States is nothing new. This was from September 17, 2021. Canada's exclusion from Three Eyes only confirms what was already the case. Now, they talk in the article about the exclusion being down to the fact that Australians are better represented in Washington at key national security institutions and frequently bring useful and actionable intelligence to the table. Ottawa cannot boast the same. So the article wants you to believe that this is because Ottawa isn't as strong an advocate for its own interests at the U.S. table. But the fact of the matter is, they've known, even under the Biden administration, they've known that Canada is not a reliable security partner. Why? Because we invite the strategic allies of the United States to train on our soil. We invite drug trafficking. We invite money laundering. We do nothing about it. It's driving up. Alone in the world is our real estate market ballooning of the size that it actually is. And it is driven by illegal money. We've proven this already. Now, getting China to the table, buddying up with China, allowing them to launder their money here, that's a huge problem, because the PLA Navy is a peer competitor. What does peer competitor mean? It means they have more seafaring vessels in their Navy than the Americans do. They have more build-out capacity than the Americans do. They can outproduce the United States, and this is a problem the United States is going to face down. Now, one advantage that we have in the hope and pursuit of world peace is that China and the United States are very dependent on each other, and they might be able to work out their problems and exist in a multipolar world where each recognizes the sphere of interest of each nation. We don't have to live under a communist dictatorship. The problem is, Canada has allowed the Americans' peer competitor to largely take over our country. They're not going to stand for it. The whole idea of allowing Canada to purge this disease from within ourselves, we're past that point. We're now going to have outside help whether we want to or not. The headline is Trump tariff threats send sales of Canadian flags through the roof. The media is a full court press of patriotism right now. Your politicians are dressing themselves and wrapping themselves in the Canadian flag and pretending that they've been patriots this entire time, but they have awfully short memories. Does anybody remember this? Our 150th anniversary, they couldn't even just fly the Canadian flag. They couldn't fly the former Red Ensign. They had to come up with a multicultural, diverse flag symbolized symbolizing, I would argue, the Sustainable Development Initiatives. This is UN stuff. This is WEF stuff. This thing, this perversion of what Canada was flown all over this country. And people who were upset by it didn't get the mainstream media attention. I can't imagine there's people out there who don't remember it, but we had a freedom convoy in Canada, which I would note started in Western Canada, which is the heart of genuine Canadianism right now. It went to Ottawa because there were mandates and lockdowns. People were being destroyed. They decided to lock people who didn't get vaccinated out of necessary medical care. People died by the thousands because of the government. And so genuine Canadians, the last vestige of the soul of this country, drove to Ottawa en masse, tens of thousands of them, dressed in the Canadian flag, genuinely showing true patriotism. And what was the media's response? What was the government's response? What was the socialists and communists allied with the Communist Party of China? What was their response? Canadians becoming flag phobic in wake of freedom movement, says Brock Expert. Canadian flag bad. Veterans saddened by use of Canadian flag by convoy protesters. They covered this on our state media. They didn't cover the fact that there were hundreds of veterans present for the Freedom Convoy. Hundreds of veterans in groups and organized who thought the mandates, who thought the mandatory vaccination, the lockdowns, the destruction of people's lives was egregious, that it was against the founding principles of the country, that it was an offense to the military victories that we fought in Europe under the Red Ensign, not under the Canadian flag that we have now that they're demonizing, but under the Red Ensign to defeat the Nazis. They thought it was a bad idea. These were people who remembered a legacy of anti-communism and anti-fascism. But apparently, CBC doesn't want to talk about them. Convoy, federal government have shifted some people's perspectives on the Canadian flag, but one quarter of respondents said their view of the flag has become more negative. Canadian flag bad. Debate over Canadian flag resumes as convoy protest returns to Ottawa. It never actually left at this point, but I digress. Canadian flag bad. And now let's go to the piece de la resistance. This was a national outrage. Again, for those of you who are outside the country, this is Terry Fox. This man died of cancer, jogging across Canada, lost a leg, kept jogging, raising money. There's a Terry Fox Foundation now, which helps kids who have suffered from cancer. A Canadian hero. He's on our $5 bill now. Did you know that? He's on our $5 bill. They put a Canadian flag on him. They put a hat, a hockey hat on him, a Canadian flag through his arm, and a sign that says, mandate freedom. This was sacrilegious, according to the media. There was outrage everywhere by the left and by our government and by our media institutions saying that this was desecration of a national monument. But recently, we had this. The same statue with Palestinian flags draped all over it, taken over in the same way. There wasn't a lick of outrage in this country that achieved attention by the mainstream media, that achieved attention under the government. They have no problem with this happening on an almost weekly basis in the name of a country that has nothing to do with Canada. But when the freedom convoyers, who actually cared about charter rights, who actually cared about freedoms, who actually cared about people's lives, put a Canadian flag on Terry Fox, it was a national disgrace, at least according to our leadership, which has sold this country out to cartels, which has sold this country out to drug trafficking, which has sold this country out to the communist Chinese, sold this country out and sold your future out for money launderers. They're hypocrites. They're not Canadians. They don't have any patriotism. They're going to destroy you. Listen, their trade war, when they get around to executing it, listening to Jagmeet, the man at the beginning of this video, if they do what they're talking about doing, they're the ones which will destroy the Canadian family. Make no mistake, Donald Trump in his position actually would save Canadians' pain. It is the response of your government which will hurt you the most, and they will try to peg it on Donald Trump, and it is a lie. Another lie is Canada's ability to defend itself. We can't even police our own borders. We can't even halt the problems in our own cities. In fact, our government is dedicated to making sure our streets are filled with criminals. Tracy Wilson, one of my favorite people, says in response to Warren Kinsella asking, would you take up arms to defend Canada? First, I would say, what arms? This is a man dedicated to taking all of our arms away. These are some of your fiercest gun control advocates. Tracy Wilson says, this soft little princess celebrated the liberal gun grabs, and now he's LARPing like a soldier, asking if we'd take up arms. Against whom, exactly? Just stop. I don't know why people take him seriously. Now, I've been blocked by Kinsella for many years now, but this is the genuine state of Canada's so-called wannabe militia, drag queens and rainbow flag wearers who are going to beat the vaunted U.S. Army. The headline is, Trudeau says Canada as 51st state is a non-starter, vows tariff response. Now, again, I want you to understand, at the risk of repetition, when he talks about a tariff response, he's talking about killing you, the Canadian worker. He's talking about destroying your pocketbook. He's talking about inflating your savings away to nothing. He's talking about tanking and destroying the Canadian dollar. His actions, not Donald Trump's, the government's response. So when they blame Trump, remember, it's these guys who are doing it. This from Salty Albertan, 33 million troops, give or take, in America, 466 million guns, give or take, in the hands of gun-loving Americans. The arsenal of the military, army, and navy could wipe Canada off the map. If that makes you angry, well, it should, because your politicians have led you here. Those 60,000 troops, which people are talking about in the army, would surrender, and they would be smart to, because otherwise they just get to die for nothing, for the politicians who have let them down. So would the soy brigade of drag queens and misgendered people who don't even know what gender they are. Canada will do nothing because they can do nothing, period. Don't get angry at Salty. Don't get angry at me. Get angry at the politicians who have led you here. Listen, the progressive elites from the east, from eastern Canada, identified yesterday how there's at least two countries within Canada. The eastern elites are godless. That's the biggest difference between them and the less powerful western elites who still majoritively have God. The Eastern elites are directionless and rudderless. They think a libertine society can actually build stability. They've assaulted the family. They've assaulted God, allowing church burnings to go on en masse. Hundreds of churches have been burned down in this country. The Canadian government doesn't care. Your media elites don't care. In fact, I would argue it's part of their policy. They don't mind seeing it happen. They're not going to officially encourage it, but they're certainly not going to lift a finger to do anything about it. They have denuded our military. They've given away more money to the Ukrainians so it can be laundered into their dirty politicians' pockets than they're willing to dedicate to expanding and enhancing the Canadian military. They've decided that the rainbow flag matters more than the Canadian flag. And now they want to pose as Team Canada, and now they want to signal strength after they have gutted and weakened this country for decades. So don't buy it. We can't fight the Americans. This whole notion, this virtue signaling that we're going to take up arms and defend ourselves, we can't even take up arms to defend our country now. And while our politicians try to fill their vacuous lack of self-meaning with the fate of a country and mishandling it, down in the United States, great things are happening. DOGE investigating feds whose net worths have exploded after Samantha Power bombshell. Now, for those of you who don't know, Samantha Power's net worth blossomed to $30 million, even though she was only making $100,000 a year. DOGE has found a pattern in the U.S. government. They have found this actually, the picture that you see on screen, you should watch this whole half-hour clip. It's a 30-minute clip, and it's Donald Trump and Elon Musk and, more importantly, Little X in the Oval Office giving a half hour. There's so much material there, but it's really hard to hear and pay attention to because your eyes are drawn to Little X and his childish antics, which is beautiful. The return of children to the public space that aren't having their hair sniffed, that aren't being groped by some sick, twisted president, which is what Joe Biden was, that aren't surrounded by creeps, absolute freakish, godless creeps like Hunter Biden. I can't even believe the cover that people have flown for that scummy pig of a man. Bringing it back. putting an emphasis on children. This little guy goes everywhere with Elon Musk. You see Donald Trump's grandkids. Barron Trump grew up in front of your face. The restoration of family. The celebration of demographic health, trying to bring it back, is what the Americans are all about right now. But back to the point, Doge has discovered all kinds of absurdities, contracts awarded to Democrat insiders that continue to be paid out even though the contract has long since expired. People on a so-called do not pay list still getting their money. The fact that the number of people who can retire in a given month is limited and restricted by the size of the elevator that goes up and down to where they store records deep underground. The people who have taken jobs under the government administration, like Samantha Power, who had a salary of under $250,000 a year, but exploded to her net worth exploded to $30 million despite that. They're finding all kinds of things. Wouldn't you like to see this for Canada? Wouldn't you like to see the waste, fraud, and abuse, not just of Global Affairs Canada, which we've been talking about, how they wipe their website and how they're funding things like gay pride parades in other countries and all kinds of absurdities? It goes so much deeper than that. Even Pierre Poilievre isn't talking about a full audit of the federal government. Nobody seems to want to do to Canada what is happening in the United States. And we should want this. Anybody who would dare put their hand on the Canadian flag and pretend to be a patriot should really want to root out the godless corruption that is running this country. But we're not doing that. Instead, they're uniting around a plan to completely destroy your life and your livelihood and whatever vestige of family we have left through a war against the United States, which we can't win, which we shouldn't even dare prosecute, all because they asked us to stop killing their people through our drug trade. One of the things in Canada that is broken most horribly is our healthcare system. This comment has been sitting on my desktop for a while, and I've been wanting to read it, so here we go. This is Laura in Alberta. I am sorry about your friend. I had lost my mom in the most shocking, unforgivable, torturous way during COVID mania from doctors simply ignoring her unbearable pain. I talked earlier about the people, the law, the system, the lockdowns, the mandates, killed in this country, killed, practically murdered. By the time one ER doctor finally sent her for tests, she had three massive cancers in her lung and it went through her body. These are things that went undiagnosed for thousands of Canadians. By that time, she couldn't even walk and they hospitalized her only because she blew up with jaundice. We couldn't even see her because COVID. When her first oncologist appointment came, it was during a February blizzard, minus 40. They refused an ambulance with no help, no pain meds, no fluids. Her 70-year-old friend had to pick her up, get her to her car as my mom cried in pain, drive 4 hours in the storm. No one helped them into the office as mom and friend fell several times. One of the biggest tragedies of Canadian healthcare is how impersonal it is. My old doctor in Ontario, he wouldn't even make eye contact with me. Not the one I finished with, the one I had since I was a child, based in Port Hope. He didn't even make eye contact. When you went in his office, he sat there behind his laptop. He didn't look at you. He didn't examine you. And he had the audacity to bill for that service and bill the taxpayer. Hours later, the doctor said she wouldn't survive more testing because her lung had collapsed. They decided to keep her in the hospital to stabilize her, 10 hours wait with her friend, slapping her face to force her to breathe, no pain meds, fluids, food. They got her a bed at midnight. Her friend was told to leave because COVID. They begged for her to stay, even gowned and masked. They forced her out. We got a call at 3 a.m. A doctor was there and mom screaming she wanted MAID, medical assistance in dying. Canada kills its patients officially now. I've read stories about people on waiting lists being offered this as a healthcare solution. Just go die. That's healthcare in Canada. Right then, she couldn't take another moment of pain. We begged him to make her comfortable till the sun came up and we could fight the storm for a four-hour trip. And with my dad, who had dementia, and my disabled sister, they agreed. But at 8 a.m., I called to tell them we were leaving. The nurse froze. Hadn't the doctor called us? Don't leave until he calls you. 2 hours later, we find out she's dead. No answers as to how. Trying to get any info was met with get a lawyer. Heartless. Demonic! I've lost two more family to MAID since because of inaction in diagnosis and care. You often just have a right to sit on a waiting list. This stupid talking point. Bernie Sanders and other politicians in the United States talk about that Canada's health care is free. It's some of the most expensive health care in the world. It is the most backwards health care in the world. Of those who provide universal coverage, we do it worse. You pay for a very expensive wait list. Oftentimes, you get to sit and die on it. I have a knee problem. I was run over by a forklift 25 years ago. I was having some serious issues with it a few years back. This was in pre-COVID times. I wanted to get an appointment with a surgeon who could look at the imagery and tell me what my options were. I had to wait over a year. And by the time I get the consultation with the surgeon, I go into this waiting room. There are people everywhere. Then I get ushered into another room. There's people in beds everywhere. This guy comes in with his slick sear sucker hair and the dude, my read, was pure narcissist. He didn't care. And so he comes in and he says, okay, what do you want? And I said, I want an opinion as to what this is. He's like, well, most of the time when people come and see me, they know what kind of surgery they want. So what kind of surgery do you want? I said, I'm here for an opinion. I don't necessarily want a surgery. He got irritated with me. He left. One of his medical aides came in. I had to talk to him. And at the end of the day, I walked back to Union Station, got on a train and went back to my house. I gave up. We pay enormous amounts of money through taxation so that we can give up on trying to pursue healthcare. Now, I have a great doctor now. His moral philosophy is on point. I haven't actually seen him yet, admittedly, and maybe I should. So it's not every doctor in this country is a morally bankrupt individual. But this is the state of our system. Canadian healthcare and government can kiss my backside. Our family fell apart. She was the caregiver to my dad, my disabled sister, and she provided live-in care to another to pay their bills. Dad lost his home and his wife, and now I have them living with me. I'm 60 and on disability for severe arthritis. If this was what my mom and dad and I paid a lifetime of taxes for, and what socialized medicine is in a G7 country, they can shove it. You know, if you don't get an emotional response to reading things like this, this woman's been with me a long time. She's been following my channel for a long time, and I've been wanting to get to this. This all started because of the heartless mandates that came down during C-19. This all started because they didn't want to give people medical care in the name of fighting a cold that had a very low case fatality. It had a very low mortality. They shut the whole society down over a respiratory infection that the vast majority of people could survive, and they killed thousands of people as a result. It's not even controversial. And this poor woman and her experience is shared by thousands across this country. The true question is this: what are you hanging on to? What is so precious about Canada that you can't live with the idea of reconfiguring the country, maybe splitting it into two countries, maybe becoming U.S. states? There's nothing left to lose. We've lost it all. The idea that you have in your head of what Canada means hasn't existed for decades. We have created a corrupt nation, a nation dominated by communists, a nation dominated by the godless, a nation dominated by drug traffickers, and people who are committed to allowing violent criminals back on the street. We're a country whose healthcare system was once the envy of the world, is now a joke to anybody who's outside of this country. We're hanging on to an illusion. Canada is not what we remember it to be. It is now a criminal state run by evil people. And it is my hope that the Americans recognize it for what it is, and that there's enough people in this country who recognize it for what it is and start speaking out vocally so that we can get on with the process of doing something else, I'm Frank Vaughn. If you've supported me in the past, thank you very much. I appreciate all of you. If you'd like to donate, please go ahead and do. And thank you so much for all the engagement that you give me. You're wonderful. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.